Please turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 39, please. Psalm chapter 39. Psalms 139, please. Psalm 139, beginning in verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are unacquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Sure, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked. O God, depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against Thee wickedly. And Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. When you think about Psalm 109, what a chapter it is for sure. Any student of theology understands the importance of the revelation of three of the attributes of Almighty God. Theology is all a study of God's Word, about His Word. And of course, when you start thinking about ministerial students, many of you here we haven't had Sunday school today, so just a little bit of information there. When we labor in Bible school to study theology, we have some identification marks about us as Bible believers. First of all, we take a literal view of the Scriptures. We believe the Bible says what it means and means what it says. We understand there's a distinction between Israel and the church, and that's an important statement that I'm sure your pastor covers. And thirdly, we believe in eschatology. We believe when it started and when it finished. And we are so blessed to be able to understand where we are in God's timetable. We're close to the jumping off part. Amen. What a blessing it would be. I wouldn't mind leaving from here today. Amen. Meet my wife in the air. It'll be all right. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. When you think about this good chapter, of course, we don't apologize for what the Bible says. I've had to apologize a lot of times for what I've said, and I go off reservation too much. Amen. But never for what God says. And the four main attributes of God's character, describing the Lord here in the book of Psalms 139 from the psalmist David, in verses 1 through 6, God talks about His omniscience. Not using big words to try to impress you, but the omniscience of God means He knows everything. He's never caught off guard. You're never going to tell God He didn't know something. Sometimes when we pray to Him, we act like He doesn't know something. We're trying to inform Him. God's well aware of everything, where we're at and what we're doing. He says it there, O Lord, Thou searchest me and knows me. I'm here to tell you here today, God knows where you're at today. God knows you. It's an amazing thing from verses 1 through 6. And he says in verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's amazing, even though God knows us, and yet He still loves us. Amen? Isn't that amazing? Even though God knows us, He still meets with us. Thank God for the blood, like these young'uns were singing about. Without the blood, I'm telling you, we'd be in a mess. The second thought in verses number 7 through 13, we see the omnipresence of God. He says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? I'm thankful God is with us in Alabama. He's with us in Ireland. He's with us in Germany. He's with us in China. I mean, He's even in Arkansas. Amen. Just a joke, folks. I'm trying to warm you up here. Sunday morning crowd, sometimes they're tough in Alabama. I don't know about you, crowd. But anyway, He's ever present. God's able to meet with us today because He's a spirit. What a God. That's an attribute of God. The third thing is His omnipotence. In verses 14 through 22, He says, I praise Thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, I'm here to remind you this morning. He talks about it there and how precious are Thy thoughts to me. But we hear a lot of talk today about Black Lives Matter. What about unborn lives mattering? Well, we don't hear very much about that in 2020, do we? By the way, your pastor says this, all lives matter, don't they? Amen. And God knows that, and He's omnipotent, and He's powerful, and He's able to do whatever He wants to do. He's able to do exceeding abundantly. God's able to bless us in spite of ourselves. God's able to meet us. God's even able to revive us this week. There's one other attribute that's described in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. It's called the immutability of God. And that means, and it says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, He says, I am God and I change not. Amen. And He reaffirms that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, where He says, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. I'm glad God's not a meteorologist trying to figure out what does Sweetwater need today. Oh, you know, the man after God's own heart, God used him to pen this tremendous, inspired portion of Scripture about God. It's incredible. And all that He says about His all-knowing and His ever-presence and His all-powerful and His never-changing. David, what he does, he petitions the throne of God as he concludes this chapter and asks the Lord if He would do some inventory on his heart. He says there in verse 23, God, knowing all that I understand or try to understand, would You search me today? Now, I am a guest at the Sweet Swings Baptist Church this morning. I don't know anybody. I know the pastor, and I know a little gal by the Smith. I preached down in Jasper or Carbon Hill way back in the day, and she said she's just a little old gal. And so, but the pastor didn't send me an email, or he didn't send me info, he didn't text me, he didn't try to inform me of what I needed to address or what I needed to fix. Man, I'd be a mess if I tried to do that. I tell him, no, you need to preach because you know what their mess is a lot better than I do. Amen. Say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about everybody's got problems. And so for to come here today and say, act like I know what you need. I'm not that. I don't even know what's going on. I'm convinced God knows what's going on and nobody else does. I'm convinced of that. And boy, he makes this statement here about being searched. Oh, when you think about being infringed upon, someone crossing the line of your privacy, that's careful conversation there. And the sermon this morning, of course, is a serious note regarding a personal invitation to the Lord to search you. I believe if God searched you today, knowing all that He knows and all that He is and all that He can do, I believe God could do it if you asked Him. Oh, I know we know that's in the Scriptures. We have a hymn called Search Me, O God. And we love it. But when you think about what this request means, would the Lord require a search warrant today if He was to be able to have an opportunity to help you? Or would you be willing to say like the old songs of yesteryear where you would say, Lord, just help yourself and find out what I don't even know what's wrong. I'm not even sure what I need, but I pray You'd help me. I pray You'd have help yourself, Lord. Or would that be a blessing? How many would be willing to pray that prayer this morning? That is an act of free will. I know that goes against some of our Calvinist brethren. But God gives you a choice. Very important. You think about it. It's very important. That's an honest sign of an individual. It really means to do business with God. That's the purpose of this meeting this week. Directly or indirectly, whether you understand it or not, it's for to get God to penetrate, helps, search our heart and help this church this week. Oh, I tell you, if you prayed this prayer, and I can't guarantee you'll pray this prayer, but I'd love to see it. I'd love to persuade you, Paul said. But if you prayed this prayer, how would God go about searching you? Would God be interested or even need to search you? And what would God find if He searched you? I've thought about this over the years. If you've ever been personally searched, many people, it was just Friday, was the 19th anniversary of 9/11. What a sad day in America history. Isn't that the truth? I think about how many ways it changed America with the Patriot Act and all the privacy acts and all the problems. Never be the same in America. I grew up in the old country and we had problems back them days. Back it was called the Troubles, and the IRA are kind of like Antifa today. They're up to no good. Amen. So they would go into department stores like JCPenney's and others, and they were ingenious on a small device called an incendiary device, which they would place in a garment of a store with a timer, and sometime later on, that would go off and burn the whole block down. So what happened as a young boy, I remember oftentimes going into just to go to a store, and you would walk into the store, and you'd put your arms up because there'd be a security guard there with an electronic device like they use at the airport, or they would personally frisk you to search you. I remember when I first came to the United States back in 1981, I remember going to Walmart, and I walked in and I saw this old lady there, and I did that, and she looked at me, amen. She thought maybe I was Superman or something. I was expecting to be searched. No one wants to be searched. People today love their privacy. Boy, I tell you, just to call them up and ask them where they're at, you feel like the pastor's putting them out. But by the way, who else is supposed to call you up and ask you where you're at if the pastor can't? Amen. Don't get upset with them. Say, thank God I got a pastor notices I wasn't even there. Amen. Oh, you think about being, I remember as a young boy, I was in the police in Northern Ireland for a couple of years as a kid. And I remember sometimes criminals, God was preparing me for pastoring a Baptist church. They're ingenious on hiding stuff. They think they can hide things. But you know, our Bible talks about it over in the book of Hebrews in chapter 4 and verse number 13. It says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes with Him with whom we have to do. Oh, God sees it all. Can you imagine? Oh, if we realize God sees it all, knows it all, and is aware of it all, boy, I think we'd have a less high opinion of ourselves. God being our helper. Obviously, I wouldn't be interested in physically searching anybody. I'm not like that. Amen. But I sure would like the atmosphere to be conducive to the hearts that would be receptive to saying, God, I need some help. And I'd be willing to ask you this morning, would you search me? Would you help me this week? There's so many things going on, I'm not sure where I'm at. And I'd like you to do that. David, the man after God's own heart, prayed this prayer. And if the man after God's own heart was willing to pray that prayer, I think there's room for you and I to pray that prayer, don't you? I certainly wouldn't compete with David. But in order for this prayer to come to pass, it requires three simple things. It requires a voluntary request. You've got to ask. We understand in the Scriptures, the Lord often says, you have not because you ask not. And sometimes you ask amiss. Praying is all about petitioning God and on behalf of others and bearing burdens. But when you think about this request, David said, search me. Oh, it's easy to tell God to search everybody else. It's easy to say, wife, you need this message this morning. Amen. Didn't get one amen there. I'm telling you, I'm in trouble. Oh, I tell you, no matter how hard the preacher tries, no matter how dynamic or how enthusiastic or how burdened he is, he can give himself to preaching to try to get God's people to do what they're supposed to do. At the end of the day, there's only one person to blame why you're not doing what you ought to do. Preacher can't make you read the Bible. He can't make you come to church. He can't make you pray. He can't make you tithe. That's not His goal. His authority is just to provoke you. His authority is to encourage you and to admonish you and to try to help you understand. These are principles that help you love God, do right. Can't make you a soul winner. It's got to come from the heart. Oh, I tell you, I've noticed in Alabama knocking doors, a lot of folks don't want to be disturbed. It's kind of like the Sunday morning congregation. These other three preachers are going to have fun this week. I got the hard part getting her started. And like the preacher says, a lot of folks learn a lot of things. I remember back in the day when I used to play golf, and I don't anymore. I don't have time, but I like to play golf. There's something about a golf tournament. There's four tournaments, 4 days to win a tournament, you know. And you can't win the tournament on the first day, but you sure can lose it. And you can't have revival. Well, you can on the first day, but it usually takes a little time. It takes weeks, but you sure can lose them on the Sunday morning crowd. One blooper, one dud. I preached a bunch of duds. I've had some bloopers. But when you start thinking about God wanting to speak to you this morning through the foolishness of preaching, I mean, you think about the Lord Jesus in Revelation chapter 20, or 3 verse 20, where he addresses the Laodicean church as being outside, wanting to be invited in, symbolic of our relationship with Him. I believe God will never intrude on an individual's privacy if you don't want God. Right. Say, God, no. God will say, okay. Right. You don't want God to meet with you? You don't want God to search you? God will say, okay, I'll pass. Yet on the other spectrum of the situation, God, I've never read throughout Genesis to Revelation where God refuses an invitation of an old sinner that cries out to God and said, oh God, I'm a mess. Would you help me today? Yeah. I've seen God respond so many times. If you do pray this prayer and you are a volunteer, and I'm not talking about Tennessee, amen. They're your neighbors. Mississippi's ours. Amen. We love Mississippi. They're 40. They're 50. They keep us from the bottom. Amen. I don't know what Tennessee does for you all up here. Oh, we love Tennessee. We do. Somebody's got to love them. Amen. But if you would want help today, that's a joke, folks. It's okay. You Tennessee folks, I love you. I do. I've been there many times. I haven't been back in a long time. But anyhow, if you wanted help, if you were to pray, God, search me, I'm here to tell you a few simple things. There's no precondition. You know, you hear a lot about these politicians. I promise you, you'll keep the same doctor. What a liar. Amen. You know how people are. But I'm telling you what God says. If you'll ask, it'll be a no preconditions. Like the songwriter says, you just got to come as you are. So many people are waiting till things are in order, when everything's, their ducks are in a row, or when their finances is above ground. That'll never happen, amen? Whenever you got the mindset and your health's good, I'm telling you, just waiting for perfect conditions. And those of us that are getting a little older, realize that ain't going to happen, amen? And that's the first time you'll hear an Irishman from Tuscaloosa saying, that ain't going to happen, amen? Oh, I tell you. And when you'd be amazed at the prescription. If you come to God for some help, it'll be a very simple procedure. God doesn't complicate things. He's not like us. He's not running for the White House. Amen? Oh, and you'll never need a second opinion. You won't have to go down to Second Springs Baptist Church. Amen? You don't like what Pastor Logan says? You say, I don't like the way. I'll go down to the other. You come to God for some help in your heart, you'll never have to go anywhere else. He's the creator of the heart. He knows the heart. But it requires a voluntary request. That's why in days gone by, in yesteryear's Christianity, and possibly still here, whenever the old-time preacher got done, he would belabor the invitation 30, 40 stances of just as I am to get one old sinner come to God. Because he wanted them to respond while the atmosphere, while the iron was hot, while the opportunity was... Nowadays, you go 3 verses and they're done. People haven't got time. God never will overpower you against your will. I believe in the depravity of man, but I believe in the free will of man. I believe you can choose you this day. You can choose to trust Christ. You can choose to reject Him. But He wants our consent. He would love to see us yield. Wouldn't it be a blessing? Or our little stubbornness kind of bows up. Whether you're from Alabama or Ireland or Tennessee or Texas. Well, them Texas folks, they're stubborn, I'm telling you. Just kidding. No, I'm not. I tell you, it's amazing to me. God wants us to yield. I've met a lot of folks in the past. I've been trying to preach now for some 39 years, just trying to mind the Lord, learning how to do it. I tell you, it's amazing to me. I've never met anybody that regrets consenting to a heart search and a God-blessed service where the Word of God is held. I've never met a one says, I wish to God I hadn't have done that. But I've been in enough services in my day, preached enough revivals, and that's why I'm glad you still got that wood on the end of them pulpits where you stand up there and that invitation's given and they just can't. I remember on the 30th of December, 1979, in the Akron Baptist Temple, a young Irishman had came over from Ireland, and I remember standing up there in that balcony, 4,000 people in the Akron Baptist Temple, and that old preacher preaching, and I'm telling you what, I just fighting it. I didn't know what in the world was going on. It's called conviction. Boy, that third service, I wasn't up in the balcony with 4,000 or 5,000 people. I was down in the deaf department. And boy, I tell you, that Sunday night, God gave the invitation, and this old boy hit the altar, and I'm telling you what, I consented to God to search me, and God did, and I'm telling you what, I was blessed. It'd be a terrible thing to have folks here at the church that have never came to the altar. Oh, they just stand back there and they know it would help them. They know it's good medicine. They know it'll give them a merry heart. They know that it'll help them deal with a problem. They've got a burden. The old altar, it's becoming unpopular in a lot of places, but not with God. Not with God. It's amazing. Don't be afraid to let God search you this morning. I remember when I was pastoring down in Gadsden, I pastored in two churches in Alabama, one in Atala, for a little over 8 years, and what a great, them folks taught me more than I ever taught them. That was my first church. Good folks. Caused me to just fell in love with the great state of Alabama, and still do. Amen. That's not politics, that's the truth. I'm blessed, and I thank God for that. I remember being down there, it was 1987, and I was going to the grocery store with my wife, and all of a sudden, all the police cars in the world were down in a little place called Rainbow City. And I was standing at the grocery store, and we were going into the grocery store. And the wife says, let's go in. I said, you go in. I got to watch. I got to know what's going on. And them cars were all over the place. And I really never did find out what was going on. But the authorities had had a plea bargain with an old drug dealer, and they'd relocated him in Rainbow City. Problem is, his reform didn't work real well, and he went back to redistributing his drugs. And so they had to go in and arrest this old boy. Well, the problem was, three of the police were hospitalized. One police officer was shot dead. The old boy had an AK-47 waiting for them at the door. And the problem I'm trying to bring to your attention was, he did not want to be searched. He did not want to be arrested. He did not want to do right. And I've seen that so many times. God's people, God brings them in. The pastor knows they're there. He knows their burdens, knows their needs. And he says, oh boy, they're here today. What a blessing. Been praying, been asking God. Not being specific, he just has a burden for the hearts of his people. And they're there. And he says, oh God, help them to respond. Help them to do business with God today. And yet that old hard heart. This old world's made a lot of people, Pastor and I were talking about, a lot of coldness and a lot of hardness today. And even in good churches, God's people, because of the iniquity abounds, the love of many's waxed cold. Oh, I tell you. Let me say this tonight. If God was to search your heart, I used to come off the platform and point at people's hearts, but I don't do that anymore because I can't get back up. Amen. But if God was to search the song leader's heart today, he would not be surprised of anything he found in that heart. He wouldn't be surprised. In 6,000 years, God saw the same problem in people's hearts. I mean, if God was to search the preacher's heart, I tell you, he would not be impressed either. He wouldn't go, wow, what a heart. Because God knows the heart. I tell you, God has, when He searched the heart, He never has found one heart that's really pleased Him in the sense of the heart. Because He says in the book of Jeremiah, look with me if you would please, Jeremiah chapter 17, what a chapter it is, and what a verse, only time in the Bible it has these words, desperately wicked, and it talks about the heart. Jeremiah chapter 17, please. Jeremiah chapter 17 in a verse that should be marked in your Bible in verse number 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Sometimes we don't even know our heart. I'm here to tell you, there's only three people know whether you're saved or lost. That's you, God, and the devil. Amen. That old heart's a complicated piece of equipment. Would you agree with me today? Oh, you think? He says, but look at it said in verse number 10. "But I, the Lord..." He just happens to say, "I search the heart." In other words, if it was me doing the searching today, we may as well close the building down, go and eat, and not have the meeting the rest of the week because I'd mess it all up. I'm not the heart searcher tonight. I'm not the one. There'd be no hope if it was me doing the searching. But I'm telling you, when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, and the Gospel of Luke chapter 4 verse 18, He said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." I'm glad to remind the Sweet Springs Baptist Church that God is still in the heart healing business. In 2000, at your 62nd anniversary, God can help your heart today. Amen. World's filled with broken hearts and sinners that need to come to God and let Him search them. The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 37, "Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." He says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And by the way, you know this for sure, but Bible salvation is salvation of a heart examination. That's what God deals with in the heart. He says it over there in Romans chapter number 10. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. A heart thing. It's a heart thing. Oh, would you pray, "God, search me"? Would you volunteer? Would you become a Tennessean for a day and volunteer and yield to God? If you did request God to search you, what would be the procedure that God would use? Everybody today has gotten so educated with medication and with procedures at the heart and the heart lab and the heart surgery. Seems like everybody knows a little bit about more than they used to, don't they? But God doesn't complicate it. If the God of this Bible that David asked to search Him was to search you, what would He use? Is there a procedure? Is there a prescription that God would use? Well, I'm here to remind you of something that you all believe and you all know, but it needs to be brought again to your attention. The simplicity of how God would search you. There's only two things in this world that God would use, and there's only two things in this world that are holy. One's called a holy Bible, and the other one's called the Holy Spirit. And God, now, you say, "I don't know about that." Look with me, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Don't take my word for it. Take the word of God for it. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, please. In Hebrews chapter 4, God shows you the procedure that He uses to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's why in years gone by, and even years today, if we're going to have a church that's alive, it's going to require God to use His procedure of the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, in verse number 12, He says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and spirit, and as it joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." When the pastor preaches, I would hope that everybody in this congregation would be born again. I would hope that everybody in the great state of Alabama would be saved. It'd be a terrible thing to live in this part of the world, the old Bible Belt. Rust bucket now, how it is. It's not as Bible Belt as it used to be, but there's still a remnant. Thank God for the Sweet Swings Baptist Church. Amen. But I'm telling you, what God uses is preaching. God rears back and He speaks through His Word and through the sacred desk, and it comes across this place like no other place, and it penetrates your heart. And it does one of two things. It discerns whether you're saved or whether you're lost. It's not that complicated. Preacher doesn't know. How can a preacher know when some of you don't even know? I mean, it's only the Word of God that helps you know whether you're saved or not. That's how you get assurance. Is that not right? By taking God at His Word. And boy, it attends you. And if you've been saved and washed in the blood, I tell you what, if you've been born again by God, I tell you what will happen is that Word of God will penetrate you and provoke you to do right. Amen. Oh, if you're saved, it'll provoke you. The Bible says, for out of the abundance of the man's heart, the mouth speaketh. I can't believe anybody that's received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior into their heart wouldn't talk about it sometime. It'd come out your mouth sometime, wouldn't it? Can't imagine. And yet I hear some folks say they're saved. Now, they may talk about them, but I hadn't heard them. It's sad, really. Then the other spectrum, there may be some here that have never been born again. They're good old Southerners. They love their family. They love their culture. They love their country. But they've never let God search them to show them their sin, their need to be born again, their need to be saved. That's why we imply so often about being born again. It's the most important event that takes place in the service. Discerning your heart. I remember when I first came to the United States back in 1979, I immigrated as a young man, and in order to immigrate, I had to go through the procedure of going to the consulate, interviewing with the consulate general, going to the doctor and making sure medically I was of age and well, and finishing my apprenticeship as a plumber so that I had quality to help. I wasn't coming as a bum, never been on unemployment in 39 years. How about that? God's been good to this old boy. But I remember as I prepared to go and see my medical doctor, hoping he would give me the stamp of approval, which would allow me to get a visa to come to the United States, I had to go and see a doctor. I went up to the Belfast City Hospital, and I went in, and they said, what we need to do is we need to have a big x-ray. Back in the day, they don't do it like they do now. Everything's technology, and they zoom it here and zoom it there. Back then, they had a big old 2x4 car, big old plastic black thing. And I was going into this place where they took my x-ray, and they gave me the x-ray, and that was my ticket. If everything was okay, I was going to be blessed to be able to hopefully get a green light and come to the United States. So I went up to my doctor, and my doctor did the medical, and he poked and he jabbed and he looked everywhere and made sure everything was good. And he said, everything on the outside looks pretty good. He said, let's look on the inside. And I said, but before I got there, I went out onto the Donegal Road, and this old black x-ray in my hands blew out of my hands. And a big old truck came and run right over it. And I thought, man, I don't have any money to buy another one. So I cleaned it up, dried it off. It was raining, and made my way up there and gave it to the doctor. And the doctor said, let me put it on this board. And he put it on a board, and it just looked like a black piece of paper until he turned the light on. He said, Mr. Delaney, you look like you've been run over by a truck. You know, every once in a while your preacher get up and he'll preach this book, and some of you look like a Big Mac got you all the way here, and it wasn't McDonald's. Amen. Oh, this old world will get the better of us, won't it? And this old book will reveal where we're at. I don't know where you're at. You may look good. You may even took a bath this morning. Somebody made him shave, put some poo-poo on. Amen. I don't know if you did or not. But I'm telling you, if God's going to search your heart, He's going to use the Word. Going to use the Word. Would you let Him use the Word? These next 3 days, God's men are going to come in and they're going to minister the Word. Look with me in Acts chapter number 8, please. Acts chapter number 8. Another portion of Scripture that tells us how God searches us. Acts chapter number 8 and verse 26. What a great chapter Acts chapter 8 is, by the way. In the middle of it, in verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helped with our infirmities. Boy, a lot of sick folks here today. A lot of folks need help. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes we don't even know how to pray for folks. Sometimes we come on Wednesday nights to pray and we're not even sure how to pray for God's will. But here's how God works. Verse 27, and He, the Spirit that searches the hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I'm here to tell you folks, old Brother Lackey years ago said nothing the Holy Ghost can't fix. He said, if you just get filled with the Spirit, I tell you what, that'll take care of just about everything. Amen. Spirit of God. And boy, I'm telling you, God wants to search you today, and he uses his Word, and he uses his Spirit. You can trust them because they're both holy. They don't have an agenda. They don't have an alternative agenda. They're not trying to politic. They're not trying to manipulate. All they want is God's will. Someone came to me here a while back about college, and we have a lot of kids come down and go to the University of Alabama, and some of them are just looking to get away from mom and dad and getting away from their church. And they come to Alabama, and it's got a bad reputation of being a party college, and it's accurate. It's not a very good place in that regards, as far as sin and drinking and all that foolishness. And many times, if they ask, I'll try to say, well, what's the will of God for your life? Dear church, I don't know what the will of God is for your life, but God does. He can show you from this book. Amen. If you'll let him search you this morning. I mean, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit's been at work since Pentecost until the rapture, seeking and pleading and dealing with lost sinners to allow them to search them in order for to get them to come to Christ. And he's dealing with Christians this morning. Two groups of people here today. There's those that are saved and those that are lost. I hope everybody's saved. Those that are saved, God's wanting to search you to help you be manifest. He wants to conform you to the image of his Son. And those that are lost, he wants you to trust his Son as their Savior. Would you let God search you? You know, a lot of times, people in life, they'll say, what does that preacher know? Who's he to tell me what I need? You know, I've worked in the building trade a long time. I've served an apprenticeship as a plumber when I was 16 to 20. And boy, I came to the United States. And boy, plumbers make a lot of money. I never have. I've never worked as a plumber since I came to the United States. Go figure. I work for people. I do jobs here, there, and you. I'm not looking for work. Amen. Plumbing will put you on your knees, that's for sure. But you know, you get the average old plumber comes in, there may be one here, and some of them don't look like they're worried about how they dress. They're kind of just big old folk, and they're used to just being in areas that aren't necessarily pleasant. And they come in, and when that commode's broke, you know what you'll do? You'll give him anything he wants to fix the commode, amen? Don't care what he has. Yeah, and that's why they charge. Some of you folks got nice cars out there. And boy, I'm telling you, it's a blessing to drive a nice car when they run. But if it breaks, first thing you do is take it down to the shop. Shop will say that'll be $3,000. And you go, okay. I mean, really, you pay it because you need to have a car. Imagine walking in Alabama. You couldn't do it. You start thinking about if you went to the hospital and if you don't have insurance, and that's what most people's fears are, and the expense if it's involved, and people do what they can do to try to pay it, don't they? They come to church, an old Bible-believing pastor says, I tell you, God's got a procedure that'll help you. Oh, what do you know? Who are you to tell me? I'll figure it out. Well, God, you chose to call men to preach the Word so the Word of God can penetrate and the Holy Ghost can convict and get people to let God search them today. Yep. Could God search you today? You know, the very man that prayed this prayer, God recorded a whole chapter of his confession. I'm glad God doesn't put what I say in the Bible. Look with me in Psalm 51 quickly. Psalm 51. This is the confession of David. It's honest. It's before God. Psalm 51. It's interesting. This is the result of a heart searching by God. It can change your day. It can give you a clean heart. It can give you a fresh start. It can give you help you stay clean. In Psalm 51 verse 1, David said, have mercy upon me, O God. Wash me in verse number 2 thoroughly from mine iniquity. Verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgression. Verse 4, against thee, thee only have I sinned. Folks, our problem in America today is against God. It's a sin problem. Sin problem. Oh, I tell you. He says in verse number 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Verse 8, make me hear joy and gladness. Verse 9, hide thy face from my sins. Here's what I'm trying to get to. Verse number 10, he said, would you create in me a clean heart? Oh, folks, God likes clean. And boy, our heart can be cleaned by nothing other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's power, wonder-working power in the blood. If God ever searched you, He's going to leave that heart better than He found it every time. Amen. A clean heart. And when you get a clean heart, look what happens. And renew a right spirit within me. Not only does God help you have a clean heart, but God helps your attitude. Boy, if there's ever anything that we need help with in 2020, it's a bad attitude. But it's the heart. And then he says in verse number 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. If God ever searched you, going to give you a clean heart, a right attitude. And wouldn't it be a blessing to have the joy down in your heart? Where? Down in your heart. It'd be a blessing to see folks happy about being saved. When I was an old Methodist Sunday school back in Ireland, they'd say, if you're happy and you know it, say amen. Say, you old dog. No, bunch of duds, amen. Maybe I was too fast for you there, amen. Oh, and another thing in verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways and sinners. Well, we get a burden for old lost people if we ever got a heart that was right and clean and an attitude and the joy and a burden, amen. Amen. Could God do that for you today? Would you let Him search you? I mean, David did. In Proverbs chapter 4 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I tell you, we just need to ask God to search us. Would you do that? Would you do it today? Good. Would you open up your heart? Would you voluntarily request? Would you let the Bible and the Holy Spirit, would you let the blood cleanse you? You know, the old songwriter said it, search me, O God, and know my heart today. He does, doesn't he? Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free.